Hello, this is Catherine Davis, and this you're listening to the PNB Programming Committee, and today is the 23rd of April, I think. Let me call the roll. We have a... let's see. Grace Aaron here. Ken Aaron.
He'll be back in a minute.
Okay. Catherine Davis is present. James Dingman.
Here.
Steve Pride. Okay. Cliff Smith. Absent. Steve Pride is absent. Tom Voorhees?
Here.
Present. Maxie Jackson? All right. At the moment is absent. So we have a quorum, 4 of 7. So we will continue with our meeting. So can anyone volunteer to be a timekeeper?
Yeah, I'll volunteer.
Okay, Jim, thank you. Do we have minutes to approve?
Not yet.
Mm-mm. No minutes. Okay. Okay, so are there any changes or additions to the agenda? Something that somebody wants to bring to the floor?
Yes, Carol Wolfley may join us to talk about intellectual copyright issues. I don't know if she's going to join us, but I did invite her to come and talk to us about that.
Did you give her the numbers, everything?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'll
may join us. Okay. Anything else to add to the agenda?
Jim, I'd like to talk about the CPB money and the current composition of the CUNY advisory boards throughout the system.
CPB money and community advisory boards. Okay. That sounds good.
Tom would like to say a couple of words about May Day.
Okay, Tom will report on May Day. All right, that's excellent. Would anyone else like to add something to the agenda? We had a call. Someone joined us.
I joined in. It's Carol Wolfley from KPFA.
Welcome, Carol.
Thank you, Catherine.
Jim already added you to the agenda.
Thank you. I'll have to get off at 6:30.
Okay. What time?
My time.
6:30. What is it time there now?
So it'll be 9:30 your time. I can be on an hour.
Okay. Anyone else would like to bring something to the discussion? No?
Yeah, I'd like to brainstorm about how we're going to be paying these bills off in October and next year. As it pertains to the program.
Of next year. All right. Anything else we'd like to add to the agenda, today's agenda? Okay, on the agenda is the written report to the PNB from the program committee. It says 30 minutes, but I would change that to 10 minutes, unless there's an objection. Are there any motions we want to bring to the floor that are in our essay of proposed motions?
Yeah. I'd like to bring to the floor a resolution on International Holocaust Day.
Okay, hold on. Let me. I lost my place. Okay. Resolution on
International Holocaust Day.
Okay, does that include all Holocausts?
That just includes, that only talks about the World War II Holocaust.
World War II Holocaust. Okay. Because you know, you do know that there are many.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah, go on.
Anything else anyone would like to bring to the table? Okay, that's good. All right. So we have a we adjourn. Let's see. What time do we adjourn? Did I say 10:30 or 11? Adjourn at 11. Okay. So let's see. Our agenda so far is changes or additions to the agenda. We have Carl Wolfley going to speak. Then we have the CPB money, a discussion on the CPB money, Community Advisory Boards. Tom will offer a report on the May Day podcast. We're going to brainstorm about how to pay bills in by October of next year. And resolution on International Holocaust Day. Brief discussion on the report to the PMB, and we adjourn at 11. Okay, so are there any changes or objections to this agenda? Okay, hearing none, we will proceed. The agenda is approved, and we will proceed. First thing on the agenda is Carol Wolfley. Carol, what are you here to speak to us about again?
One of the things I was concerned about is that we need to have a policy about copyright, just so that people have clarity about what kinds of, music can be put on, and what kind of attributions need to be done. So what I'd like to hear is, does anybody know if there's an existing policy regarding those things that is network-wide, and any insights anybody has?
Ken to the stack.
Okay, Ken.
I'm not in front of my computer, so I would read it to you. But in the Pacifica Employee Handbook, there's a section called, I think it's called Programming Guide, on page 73. And in there, towards the bottom, it makes a declaration about the ownership of intellectual property created on the station or by via of the station. And so there's a guideline there as to who owns a copyright. But there are, even within that, in terms of things we create, there's questions of who owns the copyright, whether they're employed or not. And there's always caveats, like it's show business, so somebody can sign a contract saying, well, you own it, but I can sell it, and I only have to pay you 20% of whatever I make, and so forth. You can do a contract, because it's show business, and contracts are very variable. But in terms of copyright, that's sort of stuff we publish. But also, there's copyright violations on stuff
we publish. That's what I'm concerned about, yeah.
Yeah, we had an incident in, and I'm just going to say this last thing. I heard that we had an incident in, I think it was New York, where somebody broadcast something with music, and the author of the music filed a copyright complaint. And nobody addressed it. It sat in an envelope in a shelf somewhere. And we lost the judgment in court. So there are requirements that, again, are in the programmer's guide, that the programmer has responsibility of making sure he has releases on anything that he broadcasts. And it's that kind of a thing. It's that kind of a diligence. So the issue is on it that it's very tied up in legal adjudications, and it's really something that should come down from upper management and saying, these are the laws in this state and in this country about copyright, and these are the procedures you have to follow. In other words, it isn't just a social construct that we can agree upon. It's got to do with legal laws.
This is Catherine. I'd like to clarify what the situation is in New York.
Okay, I'm done.
Thank you. The problem in New York is not about music. It's about an image. And what happened is that one of the producers was writing a little blurb about their show on the website. And they grabbed an image from the internet. I don't know what the image was, but some kind of image that they found on the internet that would be descriptive of their program, I presume. And as it turns out, that image was a copyrighted image. So it's kind of a new problem that very few people, as far as I know, were aware of, where the images, there are images on the internet that are copyrighted, and they cannot be used in the promotion of, they can't be placed on your website without purchasing those images or attributing those images. I don't know what the story is, but it was actually just about an image that was on the website for about 24 hours, I presume. Something in that neighborhood. And whomever owned the copyright sent a notification of some kind to the Pacifica National Office. It wasn't sent directly to the radio station. And apparently that notification was never either opened or addressed or dealt with. And the case, which could have been dealt with, was not. And what happened is that the case was adjudicated without any response from Pacifica or WBAI, and it ended up being a problem. So I do agree with you, Carol, that there needs to be a policy on this, giving people information about copyright that, and with the understanding that it goes beyond music. So it means that the internet has become a very different environment than it used to be, and we cannot grab images or audio, I presume, depending on what it is, writing. So there has to be a real careful presentation of what is legally available to us based on the internet, because it's no longer a free resource. So that's what happens.
Thank you. Carol for the stack.
Okay. Ken back to the stack.
Go ahead, Carol.
So also my concern is when you have music, for instance, what does that release look like? You know, like does a programmer write up something? You know, so because we're not lawyers, you know, or people working on programming are not lawyers, then it seems to me like there could be a standard form that people sign. There are, copyright free music on the internet that says, oh, you know, this has a Creative Commons copyright. Is that okay? There's also issues about, oh, you can play certain music for 3 weeks and then you can't archive it. So these all need to be policy, and I would like for the programming committee to make a request to management to develop a clear policy about what, you know, what is okay and how to deal with issues in getting releases.
Okay, that's a good point. Okay, I'm taking that note so that could be added to our overall plan. I would just say that for traditional music, we pay fees, and we have a system which is called Copyright Confessor, in which certain weeks are designated throughout the year where producers are required to record the music that they play. That's the standard at the moment. And so Pacifica does pay a fee that allows us to use copyrighted commercially produced music. But in terms of individuals or original artists, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Ken?
Yeah, I can completely concur with Carol. It's got to come from legal viewpoints, and the slip-up, like I would say, if the person created a website on his own and he happens to have a program on BAI, well, how does they wind up penalizing BAI or Pacifica? So it's a question of how we manage all of that. A lot of programmers have their own websites. And then the question is, if a lawyer, let me finish my statement.
Yeah.
Hi, could you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay, great. Let me finish what I'm saying, all right? Can I finish what I'm saying? It's a management issue. If the executive director or the program directors and the general managers and the program directors at the stations are just going, duh, copyright, what's that about? Would somebody tell me what to do? They're being negligent. It's something that's got to be handled by management. The program director has to ensure and implement adherence to copyright restrictions. He has to find out what they are and get it implemented. Senior management has to provide to general managers and program directors, these are the policies we're using. It's not something that comes up from the programmers or even the program committee, but what Carol recommended is right spot on, that we make a motion that says we require that senior management, meaning the executive director in the national office and any attorneys, come up with adequate and robust instructions on copyright requirements for programming and other network, other media, such as websites, podcasts, telephone calls, whatever, or recordings that we make. Years ago, we had a big copyright flap with, I think it was the Martin Luther King estate, or it was somebody else. It was some kind of a premium that was sent out without permission of a release and as a premium, and was a big flap on that. I think somebody handled it. I don't want to go into all the jazz about it, but the point is, it's a litigious society. People make their living by suing and by making, catching people on copyright violations or patent violations. So it requires somebody who's playing ball in that field, who knows what the contemporary laws are, and gives you a guidelines and updates those guidelines as the laws change and as the media changes, as the different things your employees might do that could get us in trouble. So it does have, but I'm just saying it has to come from the top down, and it's absolutely, I believe, a requirement of management. It's their fiduciary responsibility to make sure that the people working at the station don't violate and put the foundation at risk because they're violating copyright, whatever the law happens to be at that time. So I really approve of that motion. That's all.
So Ken, would you be able to write that motion and submit it to us?
I'll write it up now and send it to who? Send it to you, Kathy, because I don't seem to be able to communicate to the group.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's because I'm not good at creating groups. But, yeah, if you send it to me, I will send it to the board for their next meeting.
Okay, great.
But I can't see it now. So once you compose it, just read it, and we'll vote on it.
Okay. Well, give me like 5.
Take your time with it.
Is that okay, Carol? Or did you want?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. No. Thank you, everybody. I'm complete on this. I really appreciate you putting it on the agenda.
Thank you. It would have to come. The motion would have to come from somebody on the committee. So that's why I asked you to do it.
Thank
you. If you don't mind. Thank you, Carol. I just wanted to, I know Jim is next. I thought I heard a question in there, and apparently I just wanted to clarify that the image in question appeared on the WBAI website, not on an individual site. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah. There are several layers in all this. First of all, I would recommend to everybody who is listening and who is on this committee, there are blogs that deal with these issues and have extensive explanations as a preliminary to try to understand the nuances. And that includes a blog called Broadcast Law Blog, which has all sorts of discussions of, for example, how podcasts are in this mix now, and other things in streams. Now, another source that has to be perhaps worked with, and maybe one can work with it in the local in the entertainment law parts of local bar associations, is the new law that was passed last year called the Music Modernization Act, because that made it it's more complicated now to deal with all these issues. And I don't think that has been fully digested down to the producer level in any of the stations. The other aspect of this is that by being a member of the CPB, we have a music rights agreement that has been honored, which allows us to have the ability to play licensed music that ASCAP, BMI, the Harry Fox Agency, CCAS, other agencies that deal with broadcast issues, automatically you get a music rights agreement when you receive a community service grant. So that's an important issue to keep in mind. The issue of parody and satire is where the question gets complicated, because many may recall there was a very interesting show. I think it came out of KPFK years ago. It was a parody show, and they got into a big fight with Walt Disney, one of the most litigious of all the copyright holders in the world, frankly. And they were going to Disneyland and making satirical recordings of being in Disneyland. And they got into a big hoopla. I think it was a KPFA or KPFK show. It was a big deal in the 70s or 80s with Walt Disney, with the Disney Corporation. So this issue is very important to keep in mind when we're doing things, in particular crafting premiums that go out, because the way that this problem happened in New York, it was a picture from the New York Post that the person quite innocently put, and they must have been doing scans through the internet of optical recognition systems, because it got caught. And then the issue of the letter, the whatever kind of notice came to the national office and wasn't properly handled, that made a bigger deal. But these issues happen quite often with Pacifica, and it's important to have a very clear idea about how to handle them and have everybody know and be fresh all the time about the latest kind of stuff, particularly since digitization is the biggest copyright, biggest Xerox machine in the world, as somebody always used to say at BAI.
Okay. Does anyone else want to speak on this topic until we get the actual motion? Okay. So we'll, when the motion comes back to us from Ken, we'll vote on that and then send it to the PMB, providing it passes. The next thing on the agenda is the CPB money. Who would like to speak on that?
Grace, do you have any idea where we're at on that? Is Grace on the phone?
Pardon me? Where we're at?
Do you have an idea where we're at on the CPB money?
We have to complete our audits, then we can apply. We will. I believe the deadline is before June, so our application would be late. There's still a possibility of getting some CPB funding, I imagine, but we need to pull together community advisory boards quickly and make sure that they meet, that they have rosters and minutes, that they're announced properly on the air, that their meetings are announced properly on the air and on the websites. So that's one thing. And then we can apply, but we need to finish the 2018 audit at least. So.
Okay.
Jim to the stack.
Okay, Jim.
Well, as people know, and I'm going to now, you know, people on this phone call know, but others may be listening may or may not know, that there are a whole bunch of requirements to get money from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. They include open meetings requirements. In other words, when we are having our meetings of governance, et cetera, board meetings, committee meetings is interesting. They require committee meetings in addition to community advisory board meetings to be announced to the public. That is something that I don't think a lot of stations do. Committee meetings, I mentioned, should also be broadcast. Secondly, they have a CPB employment statistical report, which basically means that, you know, you have to identify by race and sex everybody who works there in full-time and part-time job categories. Then you also have a open financial records requirement. That, you know, basically, you have to keep your books open. That's where the audit issue comes in. And the need to have them up to date so that anybody can come and look at it, particularly from the Comptroller General's Office of the CPB. You also have to have donor information, and that means that you cannot be receiving money from political activity. And, you know, you have to keep a pretty clean record in that area. Then there's another requirement, a closed meetings requirement. In other words, when you announce that you're going into executive session, this has to be announced because it pertains to individual employees, proprietary information, litigation, and other matters that require the confidential advice of counsel. And finally, community advisory boards. Community advisory boards have a lot of they're only advisory, but they do have the power to look at the service of the station and advise on it. And they have to be independent, in my understanding, from the local governing board of the station. They can't be intertwined. They're two separate entities. And they are permitted to review the programming goals, the service provided by the station, and policy decisions rendered by the station. And they can be delegated other responsibilities as determined by the governing body of the station. And they also have the power to advise the governing body of the station whether the programming and other policies meet the specialized education and cultural needs of the community served by the stations. and make recommendations. And they also have to have their meetings announced in a open manner. And in the case of Pacifica, the Inspector General of CPB has come in and pointed out that we don't obey our own bylaws. So these have to be announced and in a pretty open fashion. And at the same time, the Inspector General of CPB, when he came in and basically clobbered Pacifica, he pointed out that we needed to keep logs in each station when the announcements for these meetings are happening, and we have to broadcast every quarter to the public the open meetings requirements of the CPB. In other words, we have to let people know that the meetings are open to the public, and that we have to essentially let the public know that every quarter. And these are things that they got us on a few years ago when the Inspector General came and made a whole bunch of recommendations to all the stations that they had to get their act together.
So, Jim, could you send us that list of things to everybody on the email list?
All right.
So that we can have it to work with going forward. So what are you proposing to do with regard to this?
What am I proposing?
Yes. You brought it to the committee, so I'm assuming that you want us to do something.
Well, I'd like to know what stations do not have community advisory boards and which ones do. How many stations at this point, is anybody aware of which ones have community advisory boards and which ones don't?
Does anyone have that information? I know that BAI has one. Do you want to keep a list? Does anyone else have any information?
KPFA has one also.
KPFA does not.
Okay.
And WPFW probably doesn't have one in KPFT?
I don't know. We don't have representation from every station at this point. So so that would be an important question. So do you want to submit something to the PMB for the management to assess this problem, or are they already assessing this problem? Do you have any information on that?
It's my understanding that there is movement on this issue. The question is how it's all going to wind up, but I understand there is movement on
Carol, okay. For the staff.
Go ahead, Carol.
Well, it's my understanding that, and maybe Ken and Grace could confirm, that Jan Goodman was working on trying to put together materials, and I have been working on also trying to gather all the materials from the KPFA Community Advisory Board, the nomination forms, the, you know, regulations, and how we organize the meetings and everything. So, I think that Maxie is also wanting to see this done, because I think that's a goal, you know, to try and get that money. Grace, do you know about Jan working on that?
I don't know if she's working on it, no. I think I had agreed to do some work on that from a past. I helped form a CAB years ago, and I was going to try to get that information. I did find some information. I was wondering, Carol, do you have that information readily available from KPFA?
Well, it's about 10 documents. There is a resolution that Otis posted on the Pacifica website that I think it's from like 2010 that goes into the makeup of the CABs, and it's like Pacifica's resolution, probably from when you were working on it, Grace. So
yeah.
So there's that. And then there's a cab page on the KPFA website. The Community Advisory Board has their page, and it has all their minutes, and it has all their forms and everything. They have a feedback form and a nomination form.
Okay.
That's very helpful.
Is there anyone who can volunteer to assemble all this information for this committee, whatever is available?
Carol for the stack.
Go ahead, Carol.
I would I'm continuing to work on this. I think the missing piece is to find people, perhaps from the programming committee or other committees, from the other stations that are interested, that don't have community advisory boards, who are willing to be a liaison for their stations. I would be happy to consult with people and to put together some information, but, you know, we need people to work with.
Yeah, I think at this point our committee is pretty scant, but what I'm thinking of is to provide sort of a collection of documents that could be made available to the next committee so that they can assemble that into something that the stations can use as a resource.
Yeah, I think
so. I don't think anything can happen before the next committee is convened, but if we can put together the information, that might be helpful.
Carol for the stack.
Go ahead, Carol.
So I'm just thinking, because if we're trying to get CPB money by June to at least show good faith that, you know, meetings, people have held one meeting, you know, and it was posted, et cetera, would really be important if there's anybody who could mobilize. So if anybody on this committee has contacts with WPFW, and the other KPFT and KPFK people who could be on the committee, that, you know, it is a time-sensitive issue, because if June is coming up.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Okay. So is anyone volunteering to assemble or to make those contacts? All right, so no one at this moment. But I'll submit it in the report to the PMB.
Thank you.
That this is a goal. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So let's see what was next on our agenda. At the Community Advisory Board was Tom, you wanted to make a report on the May Day podcast.
Yeah, I really haven't been a big part of it at all, but if I can call your attention to the KPFA website, on the front page there is a small little tower with a globe on the top of it, and if you click on that, it will take you to the May Day Facebook page, where I think the organization is taking place from, and that's about all I know about it at this point.
Okay.
Great.
So at least at this point, we do have a link on the main page, so that's good. Do you know if the link has been offered to the other stations and the affiliates?
I believe that's in the process. My understanding is that link just got up there within the last day or two.
Okay.
But they're, my understanding is they're attempting to organize the other stations and the affiliates from that web page.
Okay.
Hmm.
All right. Well, that's progress. Thank you.
I guess I could add that, you know, you all helped this happen. So it probably wouldn't have happened if this committee didn't get behind it. So anyway, thank you to everybody.
Well, I'm glad that's the case. We did pass a motion within the committee to support that. So I'm glad that it had an impact, and I'm sure that Maxie Jackson's participation in the committee also helped that happen. So I would thank him as well.
Grace for the SAC?
Go ahead, Grace.
Yeah, I think that's really a lot of progress. And is WBAI, I'd like to ask Jim if WBAI will be participating in that and also webcasting, anything about May Day?
I asked Linda about it a couple of days ago, but I haven't, you know, I don't know what she followed up on. I know they're doing 4 hours of programming, and obviously the whole thing is set up so everybody can cooperate. So that's a good question. I pointed it out to her. I believe she responded, and I have no idea what level of cooperation is going on regarding that.
Okay.
Okay, so that's good. So, Tom, would it be possible for you to get them to send me a link so that I could send it from the committee to the management at WBAI just as an official information point?
I sent that link to be at the very beginning of our meeting.
Okay,
and
great.
The subject line says May Day on it.
Okay. Yeah, because it may be that the programmer that is doing the May Day broadcast may very well want their work to be on as a part of that collaboration and would cooperate as well. Okay, that sounds good. Next on our agenda is brainstorming about how to pay bills by October of next year, and I assume we're talking about the loan.
That's right.
Okay, so do you want to start us off, Jim?
Well, you know, it has to be now grappled with, and everybody has to figure out positive ways to deal with it, particularly here in New York. As I understand it, we're going to have to start paying $25,000 a month on top of the normal money coming in on the interest payments. Then we have the balloon payment of, I understand it's $3.5 to $3.7 million in April of next year. And so the question is, how are we going to pay for it? How are we going to start to deal with it? Are we going to refinance it? I don't see some miracle billionaire coming out of the sky, but how are we going to do with the operations going on now to raise money? And because right now, with all the stations, the overwhelming source of money is what we get from the listeners. So one of the reasons I was on this committee is because I felt that we have to really begin thinking about, well, how can we break out of whatever kind of constrictions we have by the limited amount of people listening to make it attractive to people to donate to Pacifica. And so one of the reasons why I was putting forth all those resolutions, ideas, et cetera, to argue about was to think about things we could do. And I have admittedly been aware in more soberly in the past couple of months about the difficulties here in New York about doing certain things, yet we still have to figure out a way and ways to to break out of it. And so I'm just putting that out as a proposition, but I also want to, you know, in discussion, think about ways we could actually do positive things to change the situation around. So I just wanted to start off with that.
Okay. Does anyone else want to be on the stack?
Ken.
And Greg.
All right, Ken. Mm-hmm.
How about bingo?
Yeah,
bingo night for nonprofit. That's about as serious as I could get. I think that the, you know, the overall answer is to improve programming, increase listenership, get more members, and if necessary, refinance the obligation on the mortgage. Because at a high interest, there will be a buyer who will buy it always because it's secured by real estate below 50% loan to value. There's always someone out there. So, you know, whatever money we can raise, right now we're interest only. So there's two tasks we have. One is to make sure we cover the interest only payments. And the other task is to try to set aside a reserve to pay down the loan. And
right.
And then and maybe we could do bingo nights. But and you know, we could brainstorm on it, but I really don't want to do that on a public line because we don't want to create dissension and balkanization among the stations. We're all in this together. It's five stations and the affiliates and the National Archives, and the debt is owned by all of us. So, you know, I don't want to have conversations about sacrificial lambs for the benefit of everybody else. Somebody puts himself on an altar to be skewered and savaged. So I honestly think that, well, I think we can make it if we increase our listenership by 2 to 3 times. You know, it has to be, it can't be like 20%. It's got to
right.
be big. And I think BAI is actually increasing its listenership. And I think KPFK is. I think the program and changes have at least indicated that we can actually increase our listenership. I just want to point out that in KPFK, we put on a kind of like an AM jock type person in the morning, 6 o'clock. And she bounced right up to the highest number of downloads, which is, you know, the most reliable thing we have. We have Arbitrons, but the downloads, we can actually see the numbers. So there's our ways where we can increase our audience without going into, without hiring Rush Limbaugh. We can stay true to our mission and increase our audience. And that will give us through the long run. And I want to point out that every day in the news, you occasionally hear about corporations that have been running a deficit for the last 5 years or 10 years. And some of them are the biggest corporations in the world, like some of the dot-coms that haven't turned a profit yet. Like, I think it was Twitter or Instagram. I don't know. I don't follow the business news that much. So even if we're operating in a negative area, as long as we're moving up, that's the important part. And don't panic about the debt. Just chill out. Have a sarsaparilla and improve the programming. And maybe do bingo nights. That's all.
Grace?
Yeah. Well, the first thing is, Ken's absolutely right. There's no reason to panic. It wouldn't make any sense because we can refinance this loan. The lender we have now may be very willing to extend the loan, and that's a conversation we should start having in probably 6 months or so with the current lender. After we have shown that we are paying the monthly interest payments on time. The next thing is, if we get all our financial reporting done, which looks like it's really happening. In fact, the auditor told the audit committee last night that NETA went to KPFA, KPFK, and the national office to get information for the audit that had not been forthcoming. And the auditor stated that, that in that 1 week, more progress is made than in the prior 8 months. So
wow.
I was very happy to hear that. The 2017 audit is now in progress. It should be finished in 2 to 3 weeks. Then they're going to just about immediately start on the 2018 audit, which a lot of preparation for the 2017 audit will also apply to the 2018 audit, and the audit firm feels that the 2018 audit will be completed by June 30th, which is the deadline. So hopefully it'll get done a little early. Simultaneously with that, we should apply for CPB funding. And what in the past what happened was if a radio station or whatever applied late, there could possibly still be CPB funding left that is available. We wouldn't get the total amount of CPB funding we would get if we applied on time, but there's still a possibility of CPB funding. I would have to, I mean, that's what it was in the past. We would have to research that. But an infusion of CPB funding would really help a lot because it would lighten our other expenses, and we'd have more ability to pay down the principal on the loan. And as Ken said, probably we're either going to refinance the loan or, that's what I was saying. So if we have our financial house in order, our books will look much better. They're going to look better anyway because of the fact that Democracy Now! Forgave their debt to us of $2.3 million or so. That's a huge plus. So our debt is much less now that we don't have that on our books. So our books are going to look a lot better. Our financial reporting will be up to date pretty soon. And that will mean that our credit rating will improve. When our credit rating improves, then it'll be easier to finance at a lower interest rate with better terms. And these are the loan we have is a mortgage loan. It's based on the value of the property. It's not based on our business model. It's a collateralized loan, so we can always refinance it. There's not going to be, I mean, the problem is you can always refinance a loan against a building. If we have a poor credit rating, it means that the interest rate we have to pay will be higher and the terms won't be as beneficial to us or as favorable to us. But if our if our financial house is in better order and our credit rating improves, we can refinance or renegotiate the current loan at a lower interest rate. We can possibly have an amortized loan, which means that every time we make a payment, we're reducing the principal amount as well as paying interest on it. And we may be able to extend the term of the loan, which would also be an advantage because it could be stretched out. We wouldn't have this balloon payment problem. But the balloon payment, we do not have to come up with the entire principal at the end of the term of this loan. We have to per the loan, but there's a very good chance. There's almost definitely, we can almost definitely refinance it. In fact, we can definitely refinance it as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
So, but also we should earmark, we of course should do programming improvement, improve our operations overall so that our stations are running in the black instead of the red, and so that there's some surplus revenue, and so that we just have, and then we can with better books and better operations, we can go for major donor funding, grant funding, as well, of course, as the CPB funding, and we should earmark some percentage of our improved income over and above our operating expenses to pay down the principal of the loan, and earmark a certain percentage of any bequests we get or any other windfalls to pay down the principal of the loan. I think that in the next 2 years, there's a good possibility that we will have some bequest money, and that should, I think, a percentage of that should automatically go to pay down principal. So I think that that would be the overall plan. I hope that makes sense.
It makes sense to me. I would put myself on the stack. Does anyone else want to speak so beforehand?
Go on, Kathy.
Okay. So I think, I actually think that this is very good news, the audit's being done, because that does make it possible to receive grants and donations, and it would allow us to expand significantly. The other thing that I feel that would make a tremendous difference is if there was some kind of collaboration with fundraising. So the way it works now, we have the stations working independently on fundraising efforts. But if we're going to be buying premiums, which is what each station does, from my perspective, it makes more sense if the stations themselves, all five stations, would coordinate on some of these efforts so that we could do bulk rates, extreme bulk rates, to acquire premium offers. And I am one who feels that fundraising, as much as we are a radio station, our on-air fundraising is a significant part of the business of this network. And there needs to be some coordination and training with regard to fundraising policies and best strategies for on-air fundraising, and really looking at what it would take to, what it takes to make a fund drive successful. I believe that one of the ways we're failing is that we're depending on one or two people at the stations or at each station to do the fundraising, and the majority of the schedule is not operating optimally to be able to do fundraising to their particular audiences. And I think that we really need to look at that in terms of training producers how to fundraise, and also to look at how to market to all of these niche audiences, because truth be told, even our strip programming in the grand scheme of things is a niche audience. But we're not really marketing our fundraising to the audience in question. And I believe that we have a great opportunity to do that, considering that we have this very interesting election coming up in 2020, and with the sort of this struggle between the corporate Democrats and the more progressive Democrats, and then at the end of that, looking at the full election, that if we built a marketing campaign around that, with WBAI being a true independent voice, we could reach into the overall concern that you see in social media. And this speaks to some of the things that Jim had brought to the table, that we could be raising a tremendous amount of money through social media if we begin to focus on that. And I think that that would be a big part of paying off the whole loan. Great to be able to refinance, but we need to put a social marketing campaign together to be able to raise funds. So I think that that's really important for Pacifica to pay attention to, and perhaps the programming committee to look at how to market BAI into the independent media platforms that now exist. So
right,
that would be my perspective. Okay, Jim.
All right, Jim.
Yeah. I know by the next time we'll probably have a transition in terms of this committee. but I was intending to invite and will invite a professor at NYU Journalism School named Jay Rosen, who used to be a producer at BAI, and he used to do a show with Neil Postman a couple of decades ago. But I'm going to ask him to come on and talk about precisely this issue. What does he think Pacifica could do that would be creative and different in covering the presidential campaign? Now, we're already in the presidential campaign. It's been on for months. I mean, in a way, it was on from the time of the inauguration of Trump. But in any event, my opinion is that I agree with Kathy. I think that all the stations have a tremendous potential to really do things very interesting in looking at this election that we're in all sorts of ways, because it has national and international dimensions to it that are quite extraordinary. Now, one idea that came up this week in New York, which some people have poo-pooed, but I think is a brilliant idea, came from Janet Cohen, and what she wanted to do was to read the entire Mueller report over the air. In the tradition of when BAI used to read War and Peace and Moby Dick and all that. And I calculated how long it would actually take to read, and it looked to me like we're talking about a 24-hour, if you add in bells and whistles, a 24-hour project. But I think that reading the Mueller report over the air, and I know that there are listeners and producers who have a different opinion about it, et cetera, and that's fine. They've been expressing their opinion about what they think about the Mueller report for months. But it offers us a way to reach out to a mass audience. It also offers us a way to invite A-list actors and actresses and the public to participate in reading the Mueller report and then embellish it with all sorts of actualities, interstitials. You could go bananas with the interstitials. I mean, you could play, you know, excerpts as a break of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, or, you know, have a constant cart of Robert Redford being told, follow the money and all the president's men. You could go nuts with a project like this. And a publisher in New York who is publishing the Mueller report, I approached him this week and said, look, you know, we'd like to, you know, do something when you release the report, which I believe will be Friday or next week. So I just think we have to really figure out how to get plunged into this. And as much as I think that the eclecticism of Pacifica is important to keep strong, and that is, you know, having people from all these different marginal Marxist-Leninist groups on the air, that's fine with me. I also think that what's going on in opposition to Trump is equally important and should not be ignored. We have mass movements in this society that are in motion all over the country opposing Mr. Trump. And I think we're disconnected from that to some extent, and we have to end that. We have to end that immediately if we are in any possible way going to grow the audience. Now, that's the first thing. The second thing is we have to begin doing at each station, and New York in particular, is doing public events all the time, and particularly aimed at bringing in young people all the time. And they're out there, because I get out among in areas where I'm around young people every day. And so I see just tremendous potentials of lots of goodwill. And I'm talking about people who even know we exist. But, you know, you've got a lot of discontentment out there in Generation Z and millennials about what's going on. And in some ways, they're a lot hipper than the baby boomers. And so that energy has to be recruited into what we're doing to grow our audience. And that, I think, is very, very important.
Okay. I'd like to respond to that. I agree. Absolutely. And it may be that this might be the New York project for the web. in terms of putting it out there as a some kind of stream, which we can market through various independent media platforms to begin to cross-pollinate those audiences with Pacifica. And I say that because it would be nice to have it live on the air, but I have no control over that. That's going to be a choice of management. So, but I think that it's something that would make sense to get the project going as a web project and then try to get the stations to pick it up and broadcast all or parts of it live terrestrially on the air.
Jim DeSec, that's an interesting idea, Kathy, because really, and Tom, you're still there, I'm very happy that we're able to get the first social media interstation project off the ground. And Kathy makes a very interesting idea. I hadn't thought about doing it as a web-type operation. That's an interesting possibility. And one that would be, that's interesting. I hadn't thought of that. But I know that management at the station, Kathy, is interested in this idea, okay? I don't know where we're at, mm-hmm. but as of 2 days ago, people were all blurbing around about this. But
okay.
I'm curious what the people who are on the call, what they think we could do to break out of our doldrums right now.